Welcome, one and all, to the debut of the Jen and Leah Show, a talk show about parenting, relationships, and all those things that we mothers can't seem to stop talking about. You'd think that by now, after centuries of doing it, we'd be experts and there would be no need for any real discussion about these topics. But what do you know? We still do. We are women. Talking is what we do. For our first show, we are discussing the topic of this whole having a family thing. Now, most of us women have envisioned it one time or another. Of course, I'm not talking about you young girls with your angst-filled, liberal, I don't need a man, all men suck, I'm not a baby machine, I'm not settling down, I must be different, thinking, but more of those who are still a little maternal deep down inside and are wondering if you should have a child. What is it really like to have kids? What kind of romantic notions did we all have about having kids? How have those romantic notions been dashed? What are the verities of caring for infants and toddlers and the like? Why is it that there is nothing in the world that will prepare you for parenthood, no matter all the books and magazines and radio shows like this one? And if it's so damn difficult, why would you still want to do it? Now, I have with me three women here, including Leah, my co-host, of course, who will share with you the challenges that they faced when they had their children.
Hi, I'm Leah. I have three boys, twins age 4 soon, and a 14-month-old boy. We're here in Malaysia. Min?
Hi, I'm Min. Two kids, age 6 and 3. Even with the years of contemplating having children and finally having them, it's still a surprise.
Topaz?
Hi, I'm Topaz. Living in New York City now. I've got two girls. One is 4 years old and the other one is only 8 months old.
Okay, the first question of the program is, what is one of the most impactful life-changing factors of becoming a parent that's happened to you? Leah, why don't you start first?
Hey, for me, it is I am definitely more adventurous or more willing to try things. Definitely developed a thicker skin. You know, the things you do, especially when your kids will ask you very strange and embarrassing questions in the middle of a really crowded shopping center.
Yes, I know how that feels.
To me, that's the best. You know, when I used to work and stuff and I said commuting, sometimes you couldn't be bothered to do things or, you know, but it's been great. You know, I enjoy it. We'll do silly things or when we went to see Barney show recently, okay. We, you know, all of us are like dancing around and, you know, Malaysians don't always participate with these things. And then I was like, they were looking at me going, okay.
Min, do you want to go?
Yeah, no, someone else go ahead.
Topaz.
Oh, okay. I think I have become less selfish in the sense that now my kids come first.
Okay.
Everything also is my kids. And I have somehow, like, disappeared, you know.
Yeah.
My personality, myself, my likes, myself and I have kind of, like, faded into the background, and the kids have now taken number one place in my life.
Do you think that's good or bad?
I think that's bad because, well, I mean, it's good and bad because your kids, you know, are the main priority, but then I think somehow there should be a balance, but somehow it is very hard to achieve that balance sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Even goes away, travels a lot, right?
Like you said, it takes a village to raise a kid, so. We need two villages to raise two kids, so Leah needs three villages to raise three kids. So it's the balance is there, but it's very difficult to maintain that balance.
Okay, Min?
Yeah, in my case, I think I've become a scatterbrain. I don't know whether I'm coming or I'm going. Yeah, really, because it's so much effort getting, I mean, now it's better, but, you know, when kids were younger, it's so much effort getting ready two kids just to go out.
Yeah.
And I think people who do not have children do not see that. Because it's really, by the time you finish dressing them, you're saying, okay, I don't think I can, I feel like going out anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, and yeah, my car has become, yes, my sister-in-law was just saying the other day, because my youngest brother just had a baby boy, 3 months old. And another sister-in-law say, ah, late, isn't it? Now they know why we're always late, because she has two kids of her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, also it's the same as Topaz. And also, I think I have, I never realized how much work it was, you know, and the labor, people think that, yeah, I mean, It's having a kid, you know, you change diapers, you bathe, but the attention that you need to, you know, place on the kid the whole day, even though when the child is sleeping, you have to go and check every few minutes or half an hour you can check. So that you need to stay at home, you're, you know, basically just homebound, you know, once you have a child. And I think that part of it really? Took me.
For Leah, it's not quite true.
Yeah, it's the labor and the attention was just you cannot explain it to a person who's never had a, even if you have a pet,
it's not
a whole
new experience.
It's not the same. You know, I'll get a dog to go and try it out before. You know, it's not the same.
No way.
I was stuck at home. Months, the first 6 months, I didn't go out at all, man. When I had my first kid,
you can tahan 6 months, don't go out. Oh my gosh, after 3 weeks, I was ready to climb the wall. I told my confinement lady, you have the kid for a couple of hours, I'm out.
Yeah, me too. I was like, after Skylar was born, and then 1 week later I was out already because she's in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm. My boss saw me in the curve, you know, and he's like, "What are you doing out here?" I said, "No, like, I don't have confinement. You don't have confinement, man." I said, "No, my mom is my confinement lady, and
I was scolded by someone in the market.
I went to McDonald's when Kieran was a week old.
What did you order? Coca-Cola.
Not so gila la.
Okay, so was there a time when you actually broke down and became unsure of whether or not you can be a parent?
usually middle of the night.
Yeah.
If Leah tells me that she has never, right, I'm going to slap her, okay?
Yeah, especially when, you know, you wish you could sleep some more and the nipples are bleeding and the baby crying and you don't know why and you're pacing the house with the baby in your arm screaming the head off. Oh gosh. Yeah, that's when you think like, can I have a refund?
But I think people, you know, even when you tell non-parents that, it's really hard to imagine how something as innocent or beautiful as a baby can make you do that. What do you think it is that is it the fatigue, or is it the noise, you know, or it's just not knowing what you're not knowing what to do? What do you think is?
It's probably everything.
It's the whole package.
Yeah. Because you're feeling overwhelmed. You know, you're so tired. You think, I've tried everything, I've, you know, done all the reading, I've done everything they tell you to do, and it's not working. And
actually no amount of preparation can ready anyone for parenthood.
What do you think your husbands did that actually mitigated this kind of situations? But then right now, what do you think you want your husband to do? To take the baby away or just for like five minutes, or I mean, the importance of having someone else around when these kind of situations present themselves, you know?
I think, just to remove the baby to another room, even if it's 5 minutes breathing space for you.
Yeah, and it's not something to be guilty about, right? You should not feel guilty about it.
No.
Because you're only human, right? I mean,
just see there's a chance for the father to bond with the baby.
Yeah, definitely.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, you're waking up your husband, you have to go bond with the baby now.
Yeah, your son,
yeah.
I think your son needs you.
It's your turn now.
To pass, what do you think? You're being very quiet there.
I think I would want him to, yeah, bond with the baby, but do things my way. Read my mind and do it my way.
I'll be back in a sec.
I think there was an article recently out in Seattle Times was talking about on Father's Day, it came out, and there was this dad, a few dads were interviewed, and they are like, they work, but they also, they have flexi hours, you see, so they also come home, and the wife also works, and the wife also has flexi hours, so they have the baby for half a day every day, you know, that's the arrangement. And how he is actually as hands-on with the baby as the mother, because the only thing that he doesn't do is breastfeed, that's all. You know, and how he actually, when he goes to the supermarket, and then, you know, people here are very friendly, they talk to you, and then, oh, so is it your day off, or is it your day to babysit, and that kind of comment actually sort of pisses him off, because he is not just a babysitter for a day a week, you know. He is actually doing it full time.
It's
probably a common assumption to make, though.
Yeah, because it doesn't really, we don't really have the opportunities that people have here, I think. Do you think that fathers in Malaysia will actually do this? If, let's say, the office gives them flexi hours, you know, and then they will actually take the time to...
I think they will run. They'll say, no, thank you.
A lot of them will not, because, you know...
Men in Asia are spoiled by nannies and maids.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And grandmas.
Especially now with the World Cup going on.
Oh, yeah.
Is it still going on? I thought it's over already.
Yeah, over it.
Finals tomorrow.
Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
yeah. Monday.
Totally not World Cup.
No, we have not actually seen one match yet.
No. Yeah, guys are just so spoiled in Malaysia, because there's always the wife or the maid who will take care of things. They are the breadwinner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even women are spoiled in Malaysia. With mates.
That's right.
So many times we've seen women, you know, all dolled up with small handbags, walking ahead while the mate is carrying a big backpack that's
looking,
as big
looking
as her.
Like,
and,
looking like they have their beauty sleep, you know. And
yeah, and the mate looks like they're going to climb the Mount Everest with a big backpack and one baby on the arm and another toddler in the hand trying to catch up with the tai-tai, you know. Yeah.
I don't even need a handbag now. My knapsack is my handbag.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh yes. When was the last time you guys carried a handbag?
I think my husband just bought me a LV bag, and I was like, what do you think I'm gonna put inside here? Can't even fit my wallet.
Yeah. The last time I could carry a handbag, right? I carried it for like 1 week, and I found out I was pregnant with number two.
Oh man!
Oh gosh! Back in the cupboard it goes. Okay, the third point is that we are encouraged all the time in Malaysia to breed by family members, by society. Do you think it's good to have kids right away after you're married, or to wait for a while?
Wait.
I mean, it depends. I have to say, it depends
even
on...
Even if a couple has been together for a long time.
Well, have some couple time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it's a year or something, just get used to the other being married
and
so forth, a year or two.
As a person
of course,
who got pregnant right away, yes, please wait.
Yeah, well, the thing is when it's dating, when you're not living together, it's very different from when you're living together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And having a child is additional stress on the relationship.
That's right. Do you think those family planning classes help? Do we have
what family planning classes?
Oh, I did. I went for, because I got married the Catholic way,
And
all Catholics are supposed to go through the classes.
So what do they teach you?
They teach you about relationships, and then also natural family planning method, which of course is...
Yes, number two is telling me that it doesn't work.
It's so difficult to try to use the method.
Okay, that's a topic left for another day. Okay?
Yeah, but the classes it's quite useful because it really goes. It's very truthful and you know, both of y'all get to really, you know, be truthful about what you expect from the relationship and all.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's an interactive kind of thing, is it?
Yes, the group thing.
Oh.
You can either do the express one or the every week you go for this. They meet in this facilitator's couple house. So there's like 8 or 10 couples, and then you guys sit down, and there'll be like topics that every week to go through and all. So it's quite good, lah.
Okay. Well, you guys. I have a feeling that everybody here wanted to have kids, and then you have kids, and not that you know, it's just time to have kids, or your family, your mom is asking you, hey, so when are you gonna have a kid?
No. It was a planned one.
Yeah, planned.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it can be planned, but it's also pressure, you know, out of pressure.
For me, yes.
First one was pressure for you. Yeah.
Yeah, because
We waited 7 years before we tried for a baby.
Okay.
And I actually, from the very beginning of the relationship, I actually thought that, you know, I was prepared to not to have children.
Oh, wow.
Although I love children. Oh. I mean, because of the age gap.
Okay.
You know, my husband and I. So, you know, there was also at the back of my mind that maybe we will not. But, and it also wasn't right when I was in my early 20s. It just didn't feel right. And when the time, it was just, everything just fell into place. Like, okay, now is the time to try. We're ready. I'm fully aware that, you know, we won't be able to refund this baby. It's here to
stay.
No refundable policy. No credit allowed. So, yeah, and the cost that it will involve, etc. So, yeah, go for it.
I think cost is the one thing that a lot of Malaysian couples go through before they... The first thing that they think about before having a baby is how much will it cost? You know, like, buying a pet or something, you know?
I think it's very different.
You need to be realistic and but on the other hand, sometimes if you keep waiting, you know, you say, I have to make this payment on this, and I know a lot of couples who keep putting it off because right now I need to spend money on something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's sometimes short term.
The few reasons that people have kids is whether you have money. Second question is, you know, the second reason why people have kids is peer pressure. I mean, not pressure from parents, you know, or relatives.
Mm.
And the third one is when your marriage, when your relationship is stagnant, you have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay,
you think it
yeah,
will
have
save.
A have yeah. a baby. Hopefully, it will make the relationship stronger. That's the
stronger
worst reason
or more,
to have
yeah,
a baby.
More interesting. More exciting.
Doesn't work that way, man.
I think excited, yeah, you're gonna get a lot of excitement, but also anguish and anxiety.
So,
you know, if your relationship's already weak, it is not generally a good thing to start thinking about having a baby, because
child is not glue, you know, it will not glue your relationship back together.
I think most times it will work the other way.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe they think that, okay, you throw your head over the fence, you know, and you basically have to make it work after you have a baby. I think maybe that's why they rationalize.
Yeah, well,
it like
then get caught in a situation where you're saying, oh, yeah, I'm staying in a marriage because of my
that's
children.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah, which also doesn't
which
help.
Opens
because
up a whole can of worms. No.
So when what do you think is what are two good reasons to have kids? You know that you're ready when you have these two things.
What are the two things?
I think financial. I think you must be. It must be there, lah. You must be financially prepared. You know, and
no.
mentally. No, actually, no.
Financially,
yeah, mentally
okay,
prepared
mean,
plus you have
that,
a plan.
Yeah, yeah, doesn't mean that you have a big bank account. It means that you have backup, a little bit of backup. You have
plan.
Prepared to be to sacrifice a lot of things, you know.
But if at the end of the day,
that's a big both of you, not just oh, wife is ready, or you know which way around lah. You know, the one partner's ready and the other one's not, and they're like, okay, la. It's not going to help, right?
Yeah.
No. Financially prepared is actually, I mean, looking back, apart from the hospitalization, because private hospitals here, and I'm sure in the US, is very expensive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Apart from that, there's not very much cost involved that way, depending the style of parenting.
Yeah.
To me, I see it as that the cost is at the college level, at the schooling level.
Yeah, that's right.
Education is the biggest. So,
yeah. So if there is a plan, like how are you going to work towards having that amount for the children's college funds, then yeah, I would say that you're ready.
Okay. So money, having a big sum of money at the beginning is not important. It's just that you must have
not
a plan.
Not at the beginning.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you must have a plan to eventually come up with the money for college and not for nutrition or whatever, you know.
I don't know, lah. I didn't look at it that far ahead. I was, you know, more short term. And then because it's so long term,
yeah,
it's too far ahead to look. But I think, I don't know. For me, it was short term lah. Look at it short term first.
Okay. Mm. What do you think is the second reason to have a baby? You know, if you have this, that you're ready, or there's no such thing. You know, because we are speaking, probably you know somebody who hasn't had a baby yet will listen to this, or somebody who's planning to have a baby, and you're not sure whether you're ready. What is that thing that you must have before you have a baby?
Well, I don't think it's anything tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah, in my case, it wasn't anything tangible. It was
agreement,
just that...
An agreement with your husband?
Yes, that, definitely. Of course. Yes. I mean, the both of you need to be able to say, we want this baby.
Okay.
Plus, also that you know you're emotionally ready. You know that... You know what you're getting yourself into. You know, if someone has this romantic notion and have this, you know, beautiful visual in their mind of this quiet baby cradled in the arm, breastfeeding
the
and looking, glowing and all that, that then, you know, borrow a newborn baby for one whole day and experience the reality.
Yeah, I think a very good practical... way to actually experience it is to babysit. I know.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good piece of advice because not many Malaysians do that. They don't babysit other people's babies a lot, you know. Whereas kids here, teenagers, they babysit like nobody's business, you know. Especially during summer, I think it's very very good experience to actually, take somebody that you know who is close to you, you know, to let you babysit the baby for at least a day to experience what it's really like.
You know, isn't it in schools? I know in they're starting in certain schools in the States and Australia and UK. They have, well, not parenting classes as such, but, you know, for them to experience what it's like to look after it, to think of the whole thing. And
yeah, they have simulation projects, like class projects where you take something back and pretend or take care of it.
Yeah, you're a mummy and a daddy. You know.
Yeah, they do that.
But, I mean, considering their age, depending on the age, I think it's 9 or 10.
Yeah. Too young.
It's the one of teenage pregnancies, yes, it's not that young. But I think a lot of, even sex education, they're like, oh, cannot, oh, if we don't tell them about it, they're not going to do anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Kind
I
of
think
mentality.
Maybe there isn't such a problem with that because, in Malaysia,
relatives,
our lifestyle is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have relatives, or you will have a mother or somebody who's babysitting for their own children. So the children are exposed to cousins of different ages. So at different points in their life, they would have seen how a baby behaves. It may not sink in then when they're younger, but when they grow up, they see that, they remember, it's in the memory bank, you remember it. Because my mom used to babysit, I was in my late teens, and I remember she used to babysit 2-3 month old, and they were quite old, like 9 years old when they left my mom.
Oh, wow.
And so they were practically like siblings as well.
Yeah.
So there was a reality there that, it takes a lot of work and commitment and effort to even just to watch a child for several hours a day.
Yeah. I don't think right now the popular thing is antenatal class or prenatal class, while those are good, I think that's not sufficient. I think what you need to do is really to experience taking care of
afterwards.
Baby. Yeah.
Not just, okay, fine, you have your, the pregnancy and then the labor and blah, blah, pain management, blah, blah, blah. But it's the afterwards that is the hardest.
Mm.
This is what, my husband always said that, labor, pregnant, he says, I can't talk about that. But, you go through that and it's when they come home.
Actually, the antenatal and the prenatal is only, it culminates to
the
labor, or breastfeeding. Yeah. The that's the extent.
Even
of it.
Then, it's at the antenatal classes, the baby that is used, the doll that's used, is stiff. You hold it whole. You come back with a newborn. The arm, they're
floppy,
like
floppy.
Try to hold a bowl of jelly, without the bowl. How do you do that? How do you position the mouth and try to have it open wide before you plug in? And then you're so afraid of breaking this fragile-looking thing, and you're sleep deprived. And if you're following the confinement thing, you're feeling so yucky and hot and all that.
So, actually, all classes or babysitting experience, all this, I don't think it really helps because ultimately, it's your
but
own
it
baby
will.
And.
Yeah,
and
it's on
experience.
It helps to a point, I think.
Yeah, it helps.
Exposure helps a great deal.
We're talking about a person who has no experience, who's thinking about having a baby. Or, maybe the husband is like, I want to have a baby, but the wife is not sure. So that is a good it won't be a gauge, but it's just an experience, You just take two of you, maybe, people should arrange this kind of pairings, where they have, babies, mothers want to have a day off, they leave their babies with this new... that sounds a little bit dangerous, but... you need to have a chaperone, maybe there's a new business idea for you. The chaperone is sitting one corner. Just if they are close to killing the baby, then she'll stand.
my own experience was, if I was saying my husband's much older than me, so he has grown children. And I had just come back from the hospital with my son 3 years ago. He was like a week old. And we didn't know that he had short, what do you call it? I can't even remember what it's called now. His tongue was too short. That's right, okay. Tongue tie. He couldn't nurse properly, so we didn't know that he was hungry and all that. So he was crying a lot. And we had my husband's daughter and her husband-to-be. We didn't know she was pregnant then. But she knew she was going to break the news to us. So when she saw how much a small baby, a 7-pound baby, can scream, I think it was a reality check for her. Yeah. Like, okay, this is
maybe
what I'm going to
further.
Be facing.
But do you think...
So it was a shock.
Yeah, I think if maybe when you are, you know, you have women who are like maybe 20 or 19 who get married and want to have kids, maybe that's a good way to make them pause a bit, you know. But what if you're 30?
When they get married that young, they're already...
I think age is relative. We have someone in their 30s who are still immature, and we have women in their 20s or whatever who are already ready, you know, like they were born to be mothers. Yeah.
How many of those do you know?
it's according to my mother. One of my cousins was like that.
That is a preview, my dear listeners.
Is that Leah? But again, this is not to scare people from having children, right?
This is not to scare. Yeah, just to it's a realistic look at what to expect.
But now we must talk about all the good things of having children.
I still have a lot of single friends who are married and not, you know, I mean, I'm already 32 and they are already 32. So they are still on the fence about the whole thing, and I just want them to know what to expect, you know. And it's really very difficult. It's one of the things, few things in life that you actually cannot explain with words, you know. One of the things.
It's a personal choice.
Yeah.
Whether or not to have a baby, because babies grow up. They're not just, you know, baby forever, the cute, cuddly, googly baby all their life. Yeah, actually, yes. But they also become teenagers eventually.
Need
to move it all at 3, 4, 5, and 6. Yeah, only the terrible twos, we hear about the terrible twos, but the tyrannical three and the, you know.
It never ends. They go through different phases, and as I definitely know.
Let's talk a little bit about the difference between staying at home for your child and working. Okay, so a lot of Malaysian women decide to go back to work after they have a child, because we have cheap maids, you know, we have a very strong family support structure. I don't think it's a new thing. But for educated women who have degrees, you know, who have all the opportunities to work and to earn money and have financial independence, why would you give up your job to be a mother? For our listeners, all of us here are stay-at-home moms or work-from-home moms. So what is it that made us decide to take this path? Why don't you start? Topaz is very quiet.
Okay. The last time I was working full-time in a multinational company, and why I decided to become a stay-at-home mom is that I think I was at the point in my career which I knew, you know, I wasn't going to go up any higher in that particular company. So I thought, why not take that chance to look after my own kid, let's say for a year or two. So I resigned, and when I resigned, I was, you know, staying at home, and I always said, okay, after 1 year, I'll go back to work. But after that, it was like, are you so lazy to go back? And then also, you also will be like, home set up, you know, you won't, you know, you've been looking after your kid for like yourself, you know, your own blood, sweat, tears, you know, for 1 year, and then no way you're going to like give up to give someone else to look after. So in the end, 1 year became two, became three, became four. Okay, never mind. You know, my business degree, my marketing degree, never mind. I'll put it to, you know, some use later or something.
What about you, Leah?
For me, I'd always plan to be at home with my kids. So in my situation, I think it's different because for me, I felt that if you can handle it, right, the best thing is to have a parent.
Were you brought up to do this? Is it your upbringing that made you?
Well, my mom was always, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
My sister had always wanted to be a mom.
Okay.
You know, she's always been very maternal and stuff like that. Now, for her, she stopped working, I think, I don't know how many years with the two, she's got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she found it, she couldn't, it wasn't the best situation for her.
Okay.
I don't know, hard to say, I mean, obviously I'm answering for her, but mm-hmm. it wasn't what she imagined it to be. A lot of it is, you know, and various things, and now it's worked out. She has, like I say, flexi hours. Actually, if you're a person who, you know, because a lot of people think, you know, a woman, oh, must stay at home, you know, that kind of thing, rather than, you know, I believe if one or both parents can work out something that they can be around, that's the best option, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's, I mean, obviously if you're breastfeeding, but even if you're breastfeeding, you know, like you can express and whatnot, it's manageable, like.
Yeah.
But for me, it's I've always wanted to be at home for that, and that's why, you know, having like my sister go through it and so forth, I knew that I needed to find a balance to do things. Not always stay at home, because if you're, you know, I also cannot tahan lah, stay at home every day in, day out, forever. And I don't think it's good for the kids either, you know, to be always at home. I've seen this with other kids, you know, that they're always at home, everything's so quiet, and then when you do take them out, they cannot cope.
Yeah.
They like cry and my boys are now so used to going out, they're like, oh, can we go out now, mom? Like, no, I don't always feel like going out, but, you know, I think it's, a lot of it is stereotype, how they perceive, oh, you stay at home, you know, mom, you must be very free.
You watch a lot of TV.
Oh, I watch a lot of TV, you know.
Sleep, they think that you're sleeping.
Yeah. Why do you wake up so early? I said, you know, who else, you know, other than my husband and myself, I mean, what else are you going to do?
What about you, Min? Why did you work from home, mom?
Well, yeah, I've experienced both sides. Being a technically stay at home mom doesn't mean stay at home and not do anything. Lah. The other one is work at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I mean, one, if I can change one thing, it would have, you know, not to have started work so soon after I've had my son.
Okay.
Because definitely being a stay at home mom, you know, a full-time mom, there is definitely a bond, a stronger bond with the children.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's nice to be able to, you know, to do things with the children, you know, whether it is, you know, just sitting down with them, having a cuddle or reading a book or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Somehow there's a better connection with the children. But
okay.
I have an option now of working a lot from home.
Yeah.
But technically, I mean, working from home is a good idea, but putting it into practice is something totally different.
Yeah, because your attention is not there.
Doesn't it depend on the age of the kids you have as well?
Yeah. So, yeah, at the moment, I'm actually contemplating being a full-time mom again.
Yeah. I think...
But the money is good, lah.
that's the temptation, that's the difficulty there, right? The challenge. Actually, if you're earning lots of money, that is why it's so difficult for you to decide to give it up, right?
I think, there's another friend of mine who is, you know, she's working two jobs as well.
I mean, if you're earning like 500 bucks a month, of course you can give it up, right?
Oh, like that, I will stop it. But man, okay, so, right. won't be worth it.
Yeah.
Do you not get the perception, when people find out, you know, said, yeah, you waste your, you know, and you went to university, all these things, you're wasting your money.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, wasting
but
your degree,
you know, remember when this topic was raised in the SAHB Yahoo group site, right? That someone actually said, Karen from in Australia, she said something which is very true. I said, how can it be a waste of education when you're bringing up your children with that education that you had?
That's right.
What better way of raising children?
Yeah.
So it's never a waste.
I think another
education.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking education is not just degree. What?
Yeah.
You've experienced things. You've lived life. You've gone through university, you've learned different things along the way, and that's all education. It's not just your paper, degree and stuff. So you're not wasting things, I think.
I think another reason why a lot of women, and I get this a lot when I write, about this, they say, cost of living is so high and, we have to have dual income and all that. The thing is, a lot of these women that say to me this is, their husbands are already earning quite a lot of money and they are also earning quite a lot of money. So actually they can, one of them quit. It's just that you are so afraid of getting the unknown retrenched, or you have a lot of bills to pay or whatever it is. Like, money is really a top priority where we come from. So
for some it's the change in lifestyle. I have my cousins who will. She has already said she'll never be a stay-at-home mom, even though she has three children. Because she said, cannot lah, I stay at home, take care of my children full-time for 3 days.
Go crazy.
Yeah, go crazy.
After my confinement, I want to, get back to work. Like, at least I have somewhere to go,
I think that one is
priority.
Yeah, that one is basically, there is no argument. Some women really cannot do it, But there are some women who think they shouldn't do it. It's like, it's irresponsible for you to quit your job. What if, your husband loses his job? It's insurance. It's only logical and practical for you to work. And because you have maid, you have daycare, or you have your parents to take care, so it's just irresponsible for you to not work.
Then don't have children.
Yeah.
The bottom line is don't have them, because if you think it's irresponsible to leave your job rather than leave someone else, a stranger, or, to look after your kids, like those who, will only see their kids at weekends or they send it back to the hometown and don't see them only on holidays and stuff like that. Why did you have...
The chat to tell us why.
That's
we'll be kind. Anyone want to join us?
She says on Sunday nights when she sends back to the babysitter, she's like, in anguish. So she's in a pretty bad mood on Sunday nights because that's where the kids go back to the babysitters.
Yeah, I think the main things I wonder why. Go ahead.
Now, what I was thinking is sometimes, in not every case, you find out that the dual income is because they want this life, a certain lifestyle.
Yep, that's That's right.
You know, not always the case of I can't make the mortgage payments.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something that you think is the most pressing of financial commitments, right?
Yeah.
Not, I still want to buy this. I want to go on holidays. And not every case is like that, but a lot of them you find that they want a certain lifestyle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then.
But also a lot of it is because on one income it may not be enough.
Yeah.
I mean, to say you don't earn a certain amount, don't have children. And if they don't have that, it may be cheaper to say, you know, have the child with the parent for 5 days a week rather than hire a full-time helper or even to send to daycare. It's unfortunate that some people are caught in this situation. We are all here lucky enough in that sense that we can say, you know, quit our job and we'll have enough, even if it means having a few less things, a few less luxuries, that we have enough to be able to spend the time with the children. But there are some people who do not have that choice.
We
want to address people who have enough, who have more than enough, you know, and are still working because you feel that you not working and is actually not only you working and sending to a daycare is actually cheaper than you staying at home, you know, that because of lost earnings, you know, you were talking about situations like that. Where you're the thought that, you know, oh, I can be making $5,000 a month, man, you know, when you don't really need it.
Yeah, but you subtract, you subtract daycare, the guilt money spent on gifts for the children. You know, the number of times I've seen parents in Toys R Us going, do you want this, son? Do you want this? Are you sure you don't want it? I'm sure you want it. You want it? Yes. Okay, we'll buy it.
I can tell you, let's say if you earn $5,000, okay? Let's say you earn $5,000in Malaysia, you pay for a maid, that's 400 ringgit. Okay, you pay for whatever toys or whatever school or class or whatever, 1,000 ringgit. Food, 500 ringgit. There's only 2,000 ringgit. You still get back 3,000 ringgit, you see? Versus if you don't work, you don't work, you it's like you lose 5,000 ringgit. Seeing what is wrong with your child, I think a lot of people don't see. You know, they see the kid, she's not crying, she seems to be growing, you know, from the last time I saw her.
She's quiet.
That's fine. Yeah.
She's quite okay lah.
Yeah, and then as long as she doesn't do anything that's embarrassing to me outside, you know, or say anything that's wrong, then that's fine.
Hmm.
You know? So, I think a lot of people sort of don't see what is wrong with their own kid when they don't take care of their own kid themselves. What is the biggest myth about parenting? I think it's thinking that you know everything, that you should know everything.
They constantly you,
I think it's all right for parents to be, you know, to be flawed, to admit to your child that you can be wrong, you know, that you that you are human, you know. And because last time, you know, the way of parenting is your parents are on a pedestal. They can do no wrong, you know, because once you discover how human they are, your image or expectations start to crumble. But I think right now it's okay for you to understand that you don't know everything, and it's all right to not know everything. I think that's the biggest myth for me lah. Because last time I used to think that all parents who go into parenting are always prepared and know everything. You have to know everything.
No.
So
that's true.
Topaz, do you have what do you think is the biggest myth to you about parenting that a lot of people, maybe they non-parents or single people have about parenting? Biggest myth?
Difficult, huh? I still don't know.
A lot of people think it's
easy. Think about the thing that people always say to you, especially single people or couples without kids. You know, it's like, yeah, come, let's go for a drink at 9 o'clock in the night, you know. And
they think
just leave at home, you know.
I think the biggest miss is that you are able to maintain some kind of how do you say your post baby personality or lifestyle.
Yep.
I think that is bloody difficult, lah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that was my unmarried friends are like, you know, always saying that, yeah, you know, why you so auntie now, you know, this and that. Ah, bloody. You're not married, you're not pregnant, ah. You won't know, you know, the amount of time and the stress and to even do anything for your own self, you know. So
yeah,
what they always say, you know, you don't have, you know, you should be able to have some kind of your own life after that, which I say it's very difficult to learn.
I think it can only resume after the kids go to primary school,
university.
Or, yeah, but no lah, not so bad.
Once
maybe
you kick them out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean time management. The house. I think time management is the biggest myth.
Yeah.
You know, they say, especially when, you know, a small baby, they say, yeah, small baby is the easiest.
Like, yeah, right.
You know, it's
try holding a baby who's blue in the face from crying and you don't know what they want.
I think getting married is not very different from living together. I think the big difference is when you have kids, whether or not you are married, like in some countries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the expectations you have.
Were some of your biggest quarrels with your husbands over your kids or over your relationship? I mean,
money.
Yeah, I think that we'll have to have an understanding that the husband needs to help out, I guess.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, being just the breadwinner, the very traditional kind of relationship where mother's supposed to take care of everything.
Yeah.
You know, if the couple thinks that way or the husband thinks that way, then there'll be a lot of strain.
Right. When you finish work, do you pick up the slack? As in, once you finish the babysitters, who is the one? You know, do you guys look after the kids after that,
mm-hmm.
or you know, or is it just one person and they expect them to cook, the clean, da da da? You know what I mean? It depends.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's expectation.
Okay.
Do you
have a lot of conflicts due to your children or your relationship or lack thereof, you know, or money, like Leah said, you know,
maybe when the kids are younger, then as they grow older, you sort of work things out.
Yeah,
it's very important to have that communication to find that middle ground where it works for both sides.
Definitely. I mean, with the coming of the kids, you know, of course there's more quarrels on because there's more topic to argue upon.
Comparing quarrels over kids with quarrels over other things, you know, do you quarrel a lot?
I think it's somehow linked to the kids, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my entire day is, you know, focused on them. So
yeah.
Everything I do is for them.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, long. It's linked to the kids.
Yeah, I think it's also contribution, like what Leah said, expectations, you know, your contribution. You tend to, when you stay at home with the whole day with the kids, then you tend to feel like, you know, the husband is not doing enough.
Yes.
The reality is that he will never be able to do enough because he's not here, you know. So, I mean...
It's good to talk to your partner. It's different,
yeah.
You know, if you think, oh, yeah, he's not doing enough, but then you sit there and you spew.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you build up the resentment. As my husband knows, I tend to just try and
look. But the point I want to make is that to expect your husband to do as much as you is not realistic.
Mm.
You know, it's because you are at home the whole day, you know, how can you expect him to do as much as you? It's impossible, you know. But... having said that, you must also realize, and this is something that my mother-in-law really does very well. She understands that, oh, you know, my husband is out there busting his ass, you know, working and all that. And she is totally okay with him coming home, and he will sit down and she will bring him a glass of orange juice, and then he will relax, read his newspaper, and even until the kids go to sleep, you know, because he's already out there, working.
That guy.
Yeah, but... You know, I can't do that.
Well, that's me,
you
like.
Know, for me, I cannot do it. You know, I feel that...
I don't think our partners can do that either.
You know?
They can't, because they feel like, oh yeah, what am I? Unless they're sick, it's different, right?
Yeah.
They can't. But to me, the person who you see someone struggling, whether you're a man or a woman, right? And you just sit there and you see someone who's trying to cope or struggle, you sit there.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's can you, whether it's a man or woman?
Tolerance, sacrifice, a total lifestyle change. All these things are what you will need to prepare for if you are thinking of having children. They seem like huge, unimaginable concepts, but can be summed up in one question. Are you prepared to think less for yourself and more for others for the next 20 years? You don't need to be the most maternal or paternal of people to have kids. You don't need money. You don't even need a big career. What you do need is strength of character, patience, the spirit to do your best for those who depend on you, and to know that you are going to be doing the most important yet thankless job of your life. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to watch out for the next Jen and Leah podcast. Our topic will be the Superwoman Complex. Are you doing too much? With this, I leave you with the wise words of American journalist Hodding Carter. There are only two lasting bequests we can hope to give our children. One of these is roots, the other wings. With this, I bid thee terima kasih and happy trails.